you should know about France is that 80% of the population claims to be Catholic, even though only 5% regularly attend Mass. Only 52% of Catholics believe in God. Though part of the Reformation took place in France, there are only 2% of Protestants. Islam is the second largest religion in France, mainly due to massive waves of immigrants in the 70s that came from former French colonies in northern Africa. You should know that only 37% of the French population own a Bible. You should know that only 28% of them occasionally read the Bible. You should know that the ignorance of the French people regarding God's word is staggering, as only 15% can even name one of the gospel writers. You must also know that there are only 0.75% of evangelicals in France, and that there are only 0.02% of French people claiming to be independent Baptists. It is in that sad context that the Lord has called us to serve Him. Damaris and I are both missionary kids who were born and raised in France. Our parents have been missionaries there for over 40 years, leaving us an amazing legacy and testimony. The Lord has graciously given us two boys. Adam was born in the U.S. during our deputation. He is now 7 years old. Abel was born in France and is now 1.5 years old. Our ministry as we arrived to France consisted of church planting, training nationals, and serving in camps. It is to serve in those ministries that First Baptist Church of Rochelle, Illinois, appointed us and sent us through Baptist Road Mission. In May of 2010, after 5 years of deputation, we were able to ship out the container of items for the ministry along with some personal belongings. After an 8.5-hour flight from Chicago, we finally arrived in Paris. This, of course, was quite an adventure for Adam, and a special joy for all of us to finally be where the Lord wanted us to be. Then a few weeks later, our container safely arrived, and we were able to unload it and provide the church plant with a piano and other needed items. We stayed for a few weeks at our co-worker's home until we could find a place of our own. The Lord graciously provided for this rental, as well as this very useful and reliable vehicle. After ridding ourselves of jet lag, we jumped right into the church planting ministry in the northern city of Amiens. Amiens is a very pleasant town with lots of history dating back to the Roman Empire, many interesting places to visit, such as the canals going through town. The town shares the typical oceanic climate of northern France, characterized by frequent rainfall, moderate winters, and summers. It is also one of the sister cities of Tulsa, Oklahoma. The city of Amiens itself is the home of 136,000 people, but when we count the whole metropolitan area, that is 176,000 souls. The Lord has called us to serve alongside Carrie and Susan Abbott and their 3 children, Juliana, Timothy, and Joshua. Their home also serves as the meeting place for the Bible Baptist Church of Amiens. It is located on the southeast part of the metropolitan area. Though a small congregation, we have all the usual activities of any church. Carrie and myself share the preaching responsibilities, while Damaris accompanies with the piano. We even have special numbers once in a while, and as you can see, we have the most comfortable pews in the world. As we try to reach the people there, we often give out tracts and mysteries to people or in mailboxes. 3/4 of the metropolitan area has now been covered. Though reaching out to people is pretty safe, sometimes we do encounter some huge spiders, and we do not have anything to envy those missionaries in Africa. Here are some of the tracts that we give out. I have helped in the translation, the writing, and the designing of these tracts, which we have somebody print at a very reasonable price. We also have a website that people can look up, which includes the gospel, the entire Bible in French, a video on the life of Jesus, different articles, devotions. People can also order a free Bible and some booklets. We've had several contacts that were made that way, some even in Quebec. We have also helped the abbot set up a Bible Discovery Club for the children. This is a vital ministry for any church plant. Many children have come and heard the gospel as well as some of the parents. Through that ministry, we have also organized Christmas programs presented by the children to the parents. The little angel there in the center is Eileen, our neighbor's daughter. We have had the opportunity to clearly present the gospel to them, and we maintain a good relationship with them. Mrs. Marchand is one of the abbess contacts. She is 94 years old and still strongly believes that her good works will lead her to heaven. Beth is the lady on the right with the red dress. She's an American married to Francois, a Frenchman. Francois has recently shown some greater interest for the Word of God. Both still need to trust the Lord as their Savior. Matthew, here with his mother Francoise, came to Bible Club where he professed Christ. His parents are still both unsaved. Sadly, they have moved last year to central France. Alvis and Christelle are both devout Catholics from Cameroon, whom we have befriended through our son Adam and their son Mathieu Prince. We pray that they will allow their children to attend Bible Club next fall. We've actively been looking for a suitable building for our church meetings. Please pray that the Lord would soon provide one, as this would help us give some exposure to the ministry. The second area of ministry that we have been part of is training nationals through the IBBL, a seminary located west of Paris and less than 2 hours from where we live. Up until 2012, my father, Bernard Allaire, presided over this ministry. That year, the board voted in our co-worker, Carrie Abbott, to take over that responsibility and for me to help him as vice president. The faculty is composed of French pastors and missionaries who freely give up their time to train Christians for the ministry. My responsibilities, other than administrative, have been to teach courses such as New Testament, Biblical Counseling, Christian Home, Pastoral Theology, and others. Preaching at chapel, but also for special events, is another part of my work there. Every year we organize a full-day conference called The Truth and Love. This year, as the theme was God's Design for the Family, we had over 70 people attending. One of the greatest pleasures I have through that ministry is to see young men such as Louis cross the finish line and receive their diploma after 3 years of training. We have enjoyed so much Louis' Christ-like testimony, and apparently he appreciated so much the training he received that he signed up for an additional 2 years to obtain a master's equivalent diploma. Later, he plans on returning to his homeland of Burkina Faso in Africa. This fall, we are hoping to have 3 additional students. As we strive to be a help to the Christians in France, we are currently working on a project called eMathetus, which is an online program for lay people. Another area where I've been able to help the Institute was in designing the website, but also promotional items such as the catalog, brochures, and posters. The third area of ministry we are serving in are camps. We are currently engaged in 2 camp ministries. One is located in central France, the other in the country of Belgium. Camp Rainbow is a ministry which my in-laws, Tim and Elizabeth Knickerbocker, take care of. Up until 2012, it was located in southern France, but the camp was able to purchase these 2 buildings located in the Auvergne region in central France. It is a beautiful and quiet area known for its volcanoes and its natural spring water. Last summer, I had the privilege of teaching and preaching to the teens. There were about 15 juniors who received Christ as their Savior or made sure of their salvation. Among the teens, many decisions were made for baptism, obedience to parents, regular Bible reading, and seeking out God's will. The other camp we serve in is located in Belgium. Several churches get together for a week-long retreat in this beautiful facility that is rented at a very reasonable price. It is a great time of fellowship spent in the Word of God. This year also, I was able to teach the teens. This year, several of us took the advantage of being close to the Netherlands to go visit a replica of Noah's Ark. The kids really enjoyed it, maybe except for this little one right here. This last year, we have been asked by several churches to help them out. There are currently 6 churches without a pastor, and 3 of them are within a 2-hour radius of where we live. Because of marital problems, the missionary in the city of Orléans had to resign, so we have held that church once or twice a month during the last year. The church in Thionville is where my brother-in-law, Samuel Briard, ministers. His illness has limited him quite drastically, as he is also working a full-time job. The Church of Mont is where my father, Bernard Allaire, ministers, but because of serious health problems, I've also been asked to help the church a few times during this year. Sadly, the church in Saumon is in a similar situation as the one in Orléans. Then the church in Rouen has been without a spiritual leader for almost 3 years, as the missionary had to leave the field because of family issues. So please be in prayer. Pray for the salvation of the Meillet, Kremetz, Prudhomme, Antobau, and other families. Pray for an affordable and suitable building for our church ministry that we may better welcome people. Pray for more students at the Bible Institute so that these churches without a pastor could receive the help they need. Pray for wisdom in our ministry. Pray for spiritual protection over our family. Pray for finances as we need to raise an additional $1,100 a month due to exchange rates, loss of support from struggling churches, and the additional work that was added unto us. Your prayers are greatly needed and greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Are there any questions that you might have about the ministry there or about the country? Yes, Pastor.
Do you place the students at IBBL into these churches that need pastors for practical training for the students?
Yes, actually the one church there in Malte, the student you saw there, Louis Bazier from Africa, he is helping in that ministry as well.
So he will help there until he goes back.
Yes, yes. Definitely, definitely true. We're staying at the Collins, and that's a palace for us. but yeah, the house that we're renting right now is pretty small. It's less than 80 square meters, so I'll let somebody do the math because I don't know much about the system here. yeah, maybe Kevin can do the math for us. But yeah, it's expensive and it's small. That's the basic idea for anything in Europe. When you go to a restaurant, it's going to be small and it's going to be expensive. Both my wife and I were born and raised in France, yes. Both of us are missionary kids, and so French is our first language. So. It is, yes. Yeah, can't you tell? Yes, there's good food there. The most effective way to reach the people there is basically to get involved in their lives. You know, you can give out tracts, but you know, most people are not going to read them. And you can be out in the streets, you know, very little people are going to listen to you. But when you establish contacts, you know, like with our neighbors and other friends or you know, parents at school, when you start, you know, just being friends with them and let them see what being a Christian means to you, that's probably the best way we've found. And it takes time. Like our coworkers, they've been there longer than we have. And it's just this year, really, that like Beth and her husband have been starting to ask the right questions, you know, about God, about the Bible. And so it just takes time because people don't trust, you know, anything that comes out of mainstream religion. You know, if it's not Catholic or even, you know, Protestant, they have very little knowledge of what Protestant really means. And so, you know, for them, you know, a Baptist church, what is that? You know, they have no knowledge of what it means, you know, to be a Christian. And so it takes a long time for them to trust you and to start talking about important things. Yes. Yes. Yes, it is a Baptist church. If the church, the name of the church had the word Baptist in it, yes. Yes, because, you know, even though the work in France is difficult, you have all kinds of different religious groups in France. You have many churches, you know, that are Pentecostal or charismatic. And that too, that's one of the other effects. You know, people see evangelicals as pretty much being like charismatic churches. And so they kind of see us like, you know, exuberant people and things like that. And so, yeah, we have that in the name, so, you know, people can still look it up online and see who Baptists are, but to differentiate ourselves from other groups. Yes.
How did you attract so many teenagers to the youth groups?
Okay, the camp ministries there, the one in central France, has been there for over 30 years now. I mean, the camp exists for over 30 years. And it's several churches in France, you know, that send their teens. So you'll have some from Paris, you'll have some from southern France and all that. But basically, I'm going to say that's really the work of my father-in-law, because he has an itinerant ministry. And so he goes, you know, from church to church, and so he can, you know, tell about the camp to Christian parents, and that's one of the ways that we can get so many teenagers to come to camp. I think we had a question over there. Yes, the online course for the Bible Institute. We're aiming at helping people in the churches. So it's a program that we already teach at the Bible Institute. We just have to record it on video and then publish it on the internet. And it's courses as, you know, Bible doctrines, Bible survey, also Sunday school teaching, organizing activities, you know, for the youth, for the teens and things like that, evangelism, courses on cults and religions. So there's a lot of information within those courses to help the people in churches, for them to be helpers in their churches. Well, it is a Greek word for disciple. The word disciple in French is spelled the same way as disciple in English. Disciple. Okay, I'm going to have to pick and choose because we have several hands. Okay, at home it's pretty much Franglish. At school it's French. Adam goes to a public school there in town, and that's how he's been also able to learn French a little bit better, because when we arrived, he mainly spoke English, so that helped him a lot. Yes. Okay. Well, to the one everybody knows, maybe Adam, you want to say Jean 3:16? Remember that verse? Thank you, Adam. This one in the back. Yeah.
Is there, like you mentioned, you were on the back, but is there like any benefit, any possibility, or like TV?
It's pretty expensive, because, you know, you have to, like, for the radio, you still have to purchase a license to broadcast, and same thing for TV. As far as I know of one Christian radio, you know, Baptistic Christian radio in southern France. And as far as TV stations, no, there's nothing. They have the Catholic TV station on cable, and that's it. Yes. 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 And that's one of the reasons why we're looking for a building right now, is to be able to organize conferences, you know, such as the one we have at the Bible Institute, because, you know, even if we were to rent something just like for the weekend, you know, we would still need some place, you know, for the people to come. And right now, as we're meeting in our coworker's house, you know, knowing the French mentality, for them, a house is not a church. And it's kind of weird for them to come into a house setting, you know, to have church. And so that's why we've been really looking for something that we can rent and welcome people there. So it's in our projects to organize such events for the church, but we really need to find a building first. Yes. Okay. Well, with the Catholics not really going to church much, actually, the times that most Catholics go to church is for Easter and Christmas, communions, baptism, and funerals. Okay. But yeah, it's a pretty secular country. So, you know, celebrating Christmas and Easter, you know, it's holidays, and so people will spend time in family. They'll have a big meal. But then for most of them, you know, the religious meaning, the spiritual meaning of these events, they just don't really pay attention to them. It's just a time off and time to have fun as a family. Yes. Well, in France, you know, we do have, you know, freedom of speech, freedom of religion. There is separation of church and state since 1905. And, you know, let's say that, you know, the national government basically is not against, you know, evangelicals in France. What they're fighting against are those who have occultic behavior, you know, taking money away from people, psychological abuse and things like that. That's what really they're concerned about. And, you know, about 15, 20 years ago, they had a commission on the subject of cults in France. And so they had, you know, experts list all the different religious groups in France and saying whether, you know, they were dangerous or not. And, you know, praise God, they have not put the Baptists as, you know, or evangelicals as being, you know, bad people. But in the mentality of people, you know, the average people, they're not going to read the report. You know, they just hear something that is different from what they know, and they will assimilate that as being a cult. So let's say on the national level, there's no persecution or, you know, people being really against us. It will be more on the local level, local governments, where, you know, the mayor, for instance, you know, if we rent a facility and we have more than, let's say, 50 people come, then we'll have to have all the, you know, security for the fire and stuff like that in place. And so we have to have the fire department that comes and approves the project, but then the mayor has the final say, and he can say no. There was one church recently, they had the money to purchase a building. The owner was ready to sell to them, but because the building was in a business, you know, district, business zone, the city hall said, no, you're not a business. And that's one of the biggest problems in France, is that we do not have, you know, a real place given, you know, for, you know, churches to have a building. You know, if you're in a business district, they're going to say you're not a business. You go in a housing, you know, subdivision or something, they're going to say, well, you're a church, you're not there. It's, no, it's not to house anyone, so you cannot have church there. And so it's, you know, it really depends on the city where you're in, if the mayor is favorable or not to religions. Yes.
But, you know,
The influence of Muslims in France, in the presentation, we give the number of about 10%. You know, there's no given numbers exactly of how many Muslims there are. But when you look at the Muslim population in France, I would say the greater number of them are what we could categorize as moderate Muslims. You know, they live their life just like any other French people. They have a job. They want to buy a house, you know, have a car and things like that. And, you know, be able to practice, you know, their faith. And then you have a smaller percentage of them who are radical, and that's where the danger is, you know, from radical Muslims. And I would say in a certain way that they're gaining ground, especially among the younger generation of Muslims, those who have had a hard time integrating the French culture, who feel that, you know, they're not welcomed in France. And so the radical Muslims, you know, they're going to take advantage of that and, you know, give these young people a reason, you know, to live, you know, give them a purpose. And in the recent months, I've read several articles about teenagers, you know, young men and women, you know, running away from home to join the jihad either in Syria, Iraq, or Afghanistan. So there is a growing influence from the radical Muslims, but at this stage right now, both the French government and the Muslims, the general Muslims, are fighting to prevent the spread of radical Islam. But as far as making converts, you know, we don't see that many French people converting to Islam. There are some, but not that many. You have such a large number because they have lots of kids. That's how they spread out. I'm not sure what time I'm supposed to finish, Pastor. Okay, so just a few minutes here. Yes. I have dual citizenship, yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. But, you know, whatever you're going to tell people, as I said, you know, French people have a hard time trusting others. And, you know, even, you know, if you base, you know, your activities on the Word of God, and you were to write to the mayor and say, hey, here's who we are, what we believe, and what we do, they're going to say, yes, that's good, that's fine. But, you know, in their mind, there's still going to be some doubts about it. You know, everybody wants to present themselves as being good people. That doesn't mean that they are. But it's just a matter, you know, of time and communication with people for them to know who you are and what you do as a Christian. Yes.
In France, and I'm particularly interested to know how you connect with the other churches. Do you have an association there, and how buildings are owned and things of that nature?
Okay.
Can you describe a little bit about that, how that works in your mission?
Yes. Okay. Well, in France, you do have not an association, but rather like a fellowship of, you know, independent Baptist churches, independent churches that get together like once a year for a special conference. And, you know, we're strongly independent, you know, in our group there in France. But we still work together. You know, we find, you know, churches that, you know, we are, of course, like faith, but then in practice as well, or we have a special bond connection with them that we will be working with them. So, like, for instance, the Bible Institute works on that structure. You know, it's just independent churches that take care of the Bible Institute, you know, they participate in the decisions of the school. It's not just, you know, the president and the board that says, okay, we're going to do this and we do it. Churches are part of the process. And so we have several churches, you know, that we work with, that we've been helping. And sometimes, you know, churches are going to organize maybe like a week-long conference, and they'll have other churches come and help, you know, give out tracts and invitations and things like that. So the structure itself, you know, is basically, you know, you work with other churches that you believe have the same goals, same practices, and we try to help each other. Most churches in France rent their building. Very few of them are owners, and so it's, you know, it's really difficult, you know, for a lot of churches, because of course, you know, rents go up, salaries they're pretty much the same, and so it's, you know, difficult for a lot of churches to maintain their buildings. Even, you know, especially if you're in the larger cities, it is very expensive.
Yes.
Like for instance, we've been, you know, gathering for a few years, and you know, we've been active as a church. But it was just this last May that we legalized, you know, gave a legal entity to this church, which will allow us, you know, to open a bank account and help us as well, you know, to rent, you know, a building. If you have a legal entity, it's easier than just, you know, Missionary Abbott or Missionary Dolaire trying to rent something, because they're going to run through our personal finances and say, that's not enough. And they might do the same, you know, as far as a church, but since you already have a legal entity, it's easier, I'd say, to rent something than just me personally, individually trying to rent a building. No, not at all. In France, you have to be organized as an association, and they have two types of associations. They have the cultural association, and so that can be anything, you know, like a sports club, it could be a chess club or whatever, okay? And then there's what they call the cultural association, and that's for religious groups, churches, mosques, synagogues, you know. And the only, I would say, you know, prohibitive part of being organized, you know, as a cultural association is that you have to have a certain number of members proportionate to the city where the church has its headquarters. So, like, for instance, for us right now, we're only organized as a cultural association. We function as a church, but we're a cultural association. And once we'll reach, I think you got to have at least like 15 members, you know, for where we're located. So once we reach 15 adult members, I need to precise that, then we could switch to become a cultural association. And with that, we will have, you know, all the, you know, benefits of being recognized as a church, you know, and as far as, you know, receiving money gifts and things like that, tax exemptions and others. All right, I guess that's our time right there. Is that the right time? Okay. Well, thank you very much for your questions. And we have our display table over there, as you probably saw, with prayer cards. And we'll be glad to answer any other questions that you might have. Thank you.
Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the privilege to see this report and get some answers to questions that have come to mind about our brother and sister's ministry and with their partners there in France. Dear God, we pray that you will answer the requests that they have made about co-workers, about churches that need pastors, about a building to meet, about new contacts, about the salvation of different families. Father, we know that you can do all these things, and we await to see if it be in your will to accomplish them in our day and time. We pray that you will for the cause of Christ there in that place. Watch over us now as we have a little fellowship together and then come back for our morning worship service. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.